How risky is it really? Why our fears don't always match the facts. Author, David Ropeyuk. Disproportionate relation of facts and fears. The first goal of this summary is to explain where our perceptions of risk actually come from. The second goal is to make the case that this phenomenon, that we call perception gap, can be dangerous, a risk in and of itself. This perception gap, the potentially dangerous distance between our fears and facts, is a risk that we need to recognize so that we can reduce it. And that brings us to the third goal, to propose ways to apply an understanding of where our fears come from, so that we can narrow the perception gap and make healthier choices. The risk response. The system by which we respond to risk is remarkable, a fabulous and complex mix of neural wiring and chemistry. Subconscious psychological processes and instincts, and fact-based cognitive firepower. It's fascinating and powerful. It's in charge of our survival. We'll call this system the risk response. When it comes to perceiving risk, people are neither rational nor emotional. Bounded rationality. Living from one moment to the next forces us to make judgments and decisions when we don't have all the facts, or enough time to get all the facts, or the intelligence necessary to understand all the facts. This concept is called bounded rationality, the process by which we make judgments and decisions without perfect knowledge. The subconscious mental tricks we use to make choices and judgments under conditions of bounded rationality play a huge role in how we respond to risks. The risk response is, after all, a matter of judgment, not some cold, hard, fully factual, logical analysis. In real life, rationality is bounded, limited. The dangers of the perception gap. The perception gap can lead to risky personal behavior. After September the 11th, 2001, a lot of people were so afraid of flying that they drove to distant destinations instead. Driving because it offers a sense of control, feels safer, but it's a more dangerous way to travel. In the 3 months following September the 11th, the death toll on the roads rose significantly, compared to what was statistically normal for that period. Many of those deaths were the result of a perception gap. The perception gap causes stress. Worrying too much causes clinical stress, and the list of bad things that stress can do to your health is long and sobering. Perception gap can lead to social policies that don't maximize the protection of public and environmental health. We sometimes demand that the government spend money and resources to protect us from things that feel frightening, but which may not be the biggest risks. Decision-making tools. We apply mental tools to process limited information in the limited time available to make a decision. We use these tools to sort, analyze, compare, and categorize what we know. Tool number one, the framing effect. How you see things and how you think about them depends to a large degree on how they are presented. The same facts framed differently can produce a very different risk response. Sometimes framing comes from which information is presented or omitted, like putting the percentages in or leaving them out. Sometimes the issue is which information is prioritized or which comes first, such as whether the first aspect of a choice is the positive or the negative. Sometimes the framing comes from simple semantics. Framing plays a big role in the way we make judgments about risk. Tool number two, anchoring and adjustment. A lot of the information that we get about risks involves numbers. We're not very good with numbers. Most of us are, as some have called it, innumerate. But even when we do understand the numbers, a mental shortcut called anchoring and adjustment can throw us off in how we use those numbers to estimate risk. We tend to make estimates based on starting initial value, the anchor, and adjust from there. Tool number three, the awareness, ready, recall effect. The awareness, ready, recall effect works for quickly judging the frequency or probability of something because it's easier to remember frequent events than infrequent ones. The awareness, ready, recall effect provides a mental shortcut that influences how we estimate likelihood. Sometimes we recall things readily, not because they happen frequently, but because they were vivid, dramatic, or frightening. and that makes our memory of them stronger. Risk perception factors. There are a number of these factors, but they are all similarly governed by a few general concepts. A first important principle. Risk perception factor can cause us to be either more afraid or less afraid. A second principle. There are many risk perception factors, and more than one is usually involved in most situations. A third important principle. Risk perception factors are just one part of the human system of effective risk perception, which is a complex interaction of several conscious and subconscious components. Factor 1. Risk versus benefit. We intuitively weigh the trade-offs between risks and benefits, and we often play down the risk in order to enjoy the benefit, sometimes in ways that create dangerous perception gaps. We take on the risk of dangerous jobs for the benefit of higher pay. Whenever a choice involves both risk and benefit, the greater the benefits, the more we'll play down the risk in our mind. The smaller the benefit, the greater the risk is likely to seem. Factor 2. Control. The evidence that control is a powerful risk perception factor rooted deeply in the human animal is emphatically supported by evidence of the permanent psychological damage people suffer when they experience acute fear and stress. Many studies find that people who have a sense of control during a traumatic experience are less likely to develop post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, or develop less serious PTSD symptoms. Factor 3. Choice. The more involuntary a risk feels, the more worrisome it is likely to be. But if we do have a choice, we are willing to jump off bridges head first only with a thick rubber cord around our legs, or chat on the phone while we drive, or even host a high-level nuclear waste dump in our community. Factor 4. Is the risk natural or human-made? Anybody who's gotten poison ivy or food poisoning, or who has seen those shows where lions and hyenas kill and eat their prey, knows that sometimes nature is not nice. But when it comes to the judgments we make about risk, a natural threat is generally less worrisome than one that's human-made. We just don't worry as much about risks from natural resources as we do about risks that are human-made, and that can cause a dangerous perception gap. Factor 5. Pain and suffering. The greater the pain and suffering, the greater the fear. The flip side of the pain and suffering risk perception factor is that it leaves us less afraid of some really major threats that harm us, but in relatively less painful ways. Factor 6. Uncertainty. The more uncertain we are, the more afraid we are likely to be. The two go hand in glove. At the most basic biological level of the risk response, fMRI tests have shown that when we are exposed to something that might be a threat. Apparently getting busier as it tries to make a sense of whether we are in danger. Uncertainty assumes several forms. First, there is the form of uncertainty that we'll call I can't detect it. If you have some reason to believe that there is a hazard around, but you can't detect it, you're driving blind. Another form of uncertainty is, I don't understand it. It doesn't matter whether science has the answers if we don't understand them. It's like not having the answers in the first place, driving blind. The third form of uncertainty common to many modern risks is nobody knows. We just don't have the answers yet. Factor 7. Catastrophic or chronic. You don't hear much about the catastrophic worldwide death toll from heart disease, yet you hear all about the catastrophes like plane crashes. Why is that? Catastrophic has three important qualities that cause us to worry more. The American Heritage Dictionary defines catastrophe as a great, often sudden calamity. A catastrophe has to be big. It has to happen all at once, and something about it has to be calamitous, disastrous, really bad. Factor 8. Risks to children. Any risk to kids evokes more fear than the same risk if it affects only adults. This makes sense. At the most basic biological level, we have a genetic drive to survive, and we have a genetic drive to reproduce, to help the species survive. Anything that threatens future generations, our kids, threatens the species. The instinct to protect our children is so intense and so universal that this risk perception factor is almost certainly embedded somewhere deep in our biology. Factor 9, personification. A risk that is represented in human form, even if it's a risk to someone else, is more real than when it is represented in the abstract. If something bad happens to a person, well, that could be you. What are we able to do? As powerful as it is, the effective system of perception is not perfect. Evolved to respond to simpler circumstances, it can make mistakes about more complex modern challenges, errors, that get us into trouble. What we can do to avoid the dangers that arise when our fears don't match the facts is to understand our effective risk response system more intimately, and how each part shades our perceptions and colors our judgments, and use that self-evaluation to step back and think things through more carefully, more completely, and more honestly. That holistic view of the effective risk response system will let you know yourself a little better. Think a little more carefully, and hopefully will empower you to make wiser and healthier choices.